good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. I'm in the studio and in the chat room as studio, but this, because the studio cam is on. So come on over to the chat room if you're listening live, if possible, if your work or whatever you're doing allows it, come on and join the conversation. Otherwise, keep listening on your Prophecy Reality News app or however you're listening to us at FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Let's see, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we might walk in them. So if you're walking in the good works, which God has before ordained for you, you can be assured of your salvation in Christ. Let's see. The press is coming to my city. Oh, the president, Carrie Ann, is going to see the president. She has tickets. Well, that's great. And I guess everybody caught the title I put on the show today. Yeah, well, got a few people piling in the chat room here. And we got one on the YouTube chat room there. But anyway, let's see. What was that title I put on there? I have to look and remember for myself. Let's see. It actually went out. New post this morning. So it did go out. March to the Mark of the Beast. Who is Q? Yeah, I watched this Q movie yesterday. It was like almost 3 hours long. And I was riveted. I have to tell you, I had to watch the whole thing. I had to take a couple breaks because it was 3 hours long. But I went right back to it. It was that compelling to me to watch it. So I'll give everyone a link to that, and everyone watch it this week, and maybe we can discuss it next week. Let's see. And also we're going to discuss the passport SS Mark of the Beast case that's ongoing. I've got some update on that and some very telling pleading in there in that case, which I want to share with you because it gets to the crux of the matter, and I hope that you'll agree with me on that. And then this is March to the Mark of the Beast day 212, and the narrative, the panic, is they're trying to keep it maintained by counting cases instead of actual illnesses, okay? And I'm going to be a little cryptic in my speech on this topic because the bots are out and, you know, they're combing every word I say. You know, if you go to YouTube, it's fantastic technology because they got this voice to text closed caption thing. But at the same time, they have algorithms and bots that search that task for certain key phrases and words and stuff to see what's going on. So sometimes it might help to speak a little cryptically, but I hope that everybody gets it, what's going on anyway. But anyway, maintaining the panic. That's what the Antichrist and his minions want to do. Of course, some of them have been getting a bad name, you know, out there with the public, and it's not working out too well for them when you realize that clearly 50% of the people say that they will not take the jab. Even if I paid you $100, that's what they're saying. Even if you paid me $100, I wouldn't take the jab. They wouldn't take it. So it's hard to maintain the panic when the panic has become mundane and ordinary and a big bothersome. I mean, I went to the grocery store last week, rode my bike down there, you know, paddled all those miles into town on my bicycle, And I walked through the store, didn't even fake putting the mask on, nothing, and walked through the whole store, and nobody said a word to me. I believe that everyone else in the store, there were only a few people in there, it's a small grocery store, no one said a word to me. Yeah, not a word. Yeah, and I went through the whole thing, and they had their plexiglass up to protect them from my spittle. I get, you know, they gotta clean all that plexiglass for years now. Either that or rip that stuff down. So I'm hoping it'll come down. It's very hard to maintain the panic. But they seem to be doing it in the eyes of a lot of people out there. But I think there's hope. And, you know, that's why I was so riveted by, this, movie on, Q, that I watched, that I found and watched yesterday. So later on, I'll put a link in the chat room to that because I want to give you all homework, and that is to watch it. I'll also put a link on the post when I post this program later, so you can go to my website later on, and the link will be there in today's post when I post this program. And then watch it during the week, and let's discuss it next week. I would like to do that, yeah, for all the good it's going to do us. But or do the country. But watching things and looking at things, I have the feeling when I see them put Sleepy Joe up there that the Democrats don't really want Sleepy Joe to be elected. I mean, is that true? Or am I just imagining this, that they really want Donald Trump in for another 4 years? You know, it makes you think. When you think about what they're doing, they're running something that is totally a failure from the beginning. And they're even put it on TV. You see, I watched one of Joe's rallies yesterday, you know, that happened in the last week or so or whenever. It was very recent, one of his recent rallies there, filling in the interim. And he was talking to a bunch of parked cars, man. And then you go over to the Trump rallies, and there's tens of thousands of people there. I'm disappointed by all the mega masks, you know, they're behind him in the stands. That's kind of disappointing to see that. But whatever, you know, the delusion is great in the world. And, you know, at least, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to comment anymore on that. But let me check the chat room before... we move on to our next topic. And the next topic, we're going to talk about, maintaining an article I found on the World Economic Forum. I'm subscribed to their website, so they send me emails, and I found something, you know, very telling. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my book. And I put out another version of this book, so if you already have it, don't buy the new version. But it's retitled, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then we'll move on to the Social Security Mark of the Beast issue in the second segment. And then in our second hour, we're going to jump back into, unless we get some really hot topic going here and some back and forth in the chat room or phone calls, we'll jump back into the narration, the audible version, the next installments of the audible version of my book, The Reform Prophecy Interpretation, subtitle, An Apology for Reform Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. So you'll want to stick around for that. And if you've missed any of that, don't worry about it. I'm going to play it all over again during the week on my broadcast, because I'm going to take a break from my history for a while, because I have some other projects at home to jump into for a month or so. So I'm going to stop recording and writing for a month or so. I got to take a break from that because there's other stuff that needs to be done. But we'll be back to it. So I hope everybody's enjoying the history. I've been enjoying going through it again, reading it, narrating it out loud, and getting it further embedded in my brain. So I hope that everybody else is enjoying it too. Okay, let me check the chat room here before we jump over to something else. Would love to see the Cube movie. Okay, like you said, you'll get that link. You should write a book called The Lockstep Monsters. I did coin that phrase, The Lockstep Monsters. So that's mine. Thank you for that, Bob from P. I might think about it. But like I said, I have to take a break from writing and then I have to pray about it because, you know, I got to do what my master wants me to do. I don't always know what it is until I do it or I start it. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll pray about that because I'm going to need some inspiration to write a book like that. Because that kind of work, you know, doesn't really come out of me too easy, I don't think. But yeah, The Lockstep Monsters. Thank you for that. I'm afraid I may have to camp out at the local airport where Trump is coming for more than 24 hours. See what I mean? You know, if you watch this Q movie, then you understand. That's why I want to get this to all the liberals I know. I want them to watch this Q movie. Then they'll understand why people camp out and show up to see Trump by the tens of thousands. I finally understood it. You know, I always took it for granted before that this guy was really popular, but watching this Q movie, then it clicked and I finally understood. So you'll love it. And like I said, I'll post it after the broadcast because I'm afraid you'll stop watching me and watch it. Okay. Let's jump into this article here. And this is from the World Economic Forum. And this is weforum.org. So, I'll go there, subscribe. I subscribe so that to their blog there so I get their emails of what they're posting. But I went there and I looked down in the email and they had this post here. Here's the Pope's prescription for resetting the global economy in response to COVID. There it is. And that's the picture they put up there, the World Economic Forum. Here's the Pope and some of his adherents. You know, dressed appropriately for him. And anyway, Pope Francis has issued a scathing indictment of neoliberalism. Now, you might ask, neoliberalism? What is that? Well, it's a misnomer. It's a a redefinition of what you would think that term would mean. Because what really is neoliberal? A neoliberal would be like, you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and Nancy Pelosi and the squad. You know, that's what real neoliberalism. But what does the Pope mean by neoliberalism? Yeah. Okay, so he blames the dogma of neoliberal economics for making us vulnerable to COVID-19. He calls for greater multilateral cooperation and a focus on human dignity. The story did not end the way it was meant to, Pope Francis recently wrote, deftly excommunicating about half a century's worth of economic ideology. In a striking 43,000-word-long encyclical, that's typical Jesuit work, published last Sunday, the Pope put his stamp on efforts to shape what has been termed a Great Reset. And this is one of their favorite terms at the World Economic Forum. You know, they did several. They're the ones who put on the Davos meeting. They've done, you know, they've had their hand in these dry runs they did last year. Okay. Looking for the Great Reset. And that's what everything that has been happening with the panic of 2020 has been all about. It's been all about what you can read at the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. This is their main theme. Now, we've got the Pope put a stamp on his efforts to shape what has been termed a Great Reset of the global economy in response to the devastation of COVID-19. What is this Great Reset? Well, I call it the march to the mark of the beast. Excuse me. March to the mark of the beast. And he continues, the story he's referring to is neoliberalism, a philosophy espousing austerity, privatization, deregulation, unbridled markets, and relatively weak labor laws, while it's been faithfully told through innumerable economists and policymakers since the 1970s and put into practice in prominent ways, the Pope believes this tale has now worn thin. He is not alone. Okay, what he's really saying here is that since the 70s, they have purposely thrown out legislation and chains that were put in place to preserve our capitalist system. Okay? They've taken off all of the chains, all of the restraints to create a crisis. And that is what neoliberalism is, but that is what he and his shadow government have brought about. The neoliberalist economics, neoliberal economics. And that's what it has been all about. To bring out the worst in capitalism by taking all of the restraints off of greed and self-serving in government and corporatism. And that's where we get all of these great fortunes now, like, you know, people making billions of dollars every year. What do you do with billions of dollars every year? I mean, what do you do once you have billions of dollars? Well, that's when you start using your money to fund everything that the Antichrist wants done. So neoliberalism's free market orthodoxy, this is not true free market. This is free market without restraint. That's what the neoliberalism is. And this is what they brought out on purpose. They created the crisis through their neoliberalism so that they could bring about the cure for the crisis. And that basically to destroy the world economy and especially the economy of America. And they've done that quick time here. Okay, by destroying the middle class and destroying however many small businesses. And you notice just the corporate businesses have done very well in the panic of 2020. Okay, neoliberalism's free market orthodoxy has been blamed for making healthcare systems and livelihoods especially vulnerable to the pandemic and has drawn a clearer line under the need for active government intervention. Yeah, more totalitarian governance. That's what we need. We need the government to absolutely control everything. That's why they introduced neoliberalism by removing all restraints that were in place that helped to make America and our economy the greatest the world ever knew. But they've been working for a century to tear it down. Pope Francis criticizes the dogma of neoliberal faith. Create the crisis, and then you bring about the cure for the crisis. In his encyclical, adding that the fragility of world systems in the face of the pandemic has demonstrated that not everything can be resolved by market freedom. There is no market freedom. We have corporatism. We have neoliberal corporatism, which is not market freedom. We used to have market freedom with common sense restraints. All of those common sense restraints moved is what he labels as neoliberalism to bring about the crisis that we're in now so they can take advantage of the crisis. He advocates for a political life not subject to the dictates of finance. Well, that's pretty easy when you can just print money out of thin air. Used to be governments needed taxes. Yeah. Obviously, they don't need taxes now. They just destroyed all of their tax base, did they not? Yeah, they don't really need the money. They're printing more digits and dollars and whatever country you're in, and pounds and euro notes and yuans, and they're just printing more of those out of thin air. Yeah, but they don't need taxes. See? Governments used to need taxes because they needed real money, because that's what other countries and people required. They wanted to get paid real money. Silver and gold was real money. It was a store of value. Silver and gold was a portable store of value for labor. And it was that because it's rare, and it took labor to get it out of the ground. The more rare something is, the more it costs to extract it from the earth. So it's a great store of value. And God said, the gold and the silver are mine. Substance is real money. Digits and fiat paper dollars are not. But at least with fiat paper dollars, at least you have your privacy. But the Antichrist doesn't like that. He wants total inquisition. Total scrutiny over every penny that everyone spends. Total inquisition. It was because of the inquisitions of the past that we had the safeguards in this country that gave us the greatest economy on the earth by the turn of the 20th century. Okay, the encyclical comes as many countries have seen new surges in coronavirus cases. See? The surge! New cases! Yeah, you gotta keep the panic. You gotta keep the panic level high. We don't have anybody dying, but we must have new cases. So new surges in coronavirus cases. And as the economic fallout continues to disproportionately affect frontline workers. Really? Really? What? You mean all of the people that worked in restaurants and as waitresses, it's not disproportionately affecting them? No. They incentivize the frontline, so-called frontline workers. Of course, a lot of them are losing their jobs because when hospitals are empty, what are they going to do with all those nurses and stuff? We're going to call them frontline workers or, you know, economic martyrs. But there are plenty more than that. And they aren't the most affected because they rewarded the hospitals for going along with the narrative, with the lockstep monsters. And the poor. Mm-hmm. Lower middle income countries have been hit with the sharpest declines in working hours and labor income since the pandemic began, and an estimated 96 million people may be now pushed into extreme poverty by next year. Okay, so you get the idea, and you see who's behind it. We're going to take a little break here. You're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And we'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. we're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. And in our second hour, I will be going through chapters 9 and 10 of my book. The chapter 9 is The False Prophet and the Three Frogs Era. And that's this book here, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And chapter 10, The Mark of the Beast, the name and the number, and enforcement in its final form. So you want to stick around for that. Be playing the audible version of that, which I've already recorded and published. I think it's out there on Audible, so you can get it in. You can get this book in three ways: paperback, EPUB, or Audible. So thought I'd try it out and see what happens, since I'm going to record it anyway. Okay, also, this book I wrote as an introduction for what do you call them, dispensationalists. And I titled it as to, so that it'd be something about what they're interested in, because they're all waiting for the third temple to be built. Okay, the rapture play will begin. And it goes through some historicist interpretation on some of the same passages that they put in the future. And then it has a possible scenario of how events will play out when none of the three raptures materialize during their 70th week deception. And then the rest of the book goes to show them, tell them about historicism and who the historical and biblical Antichrist is. So it's a little 100 page book. And I've retitled that. And if you already have this book, don't buy this version. But, you know, like I said, I'm trying to reach dispensationalists. So writing a book that I think they'd be interested in to introduce them to historicism, that's the whole idea. But if you haven't read this, go ahead and get the new version, which I've retitled, The Abraham Accord and Harbinger of the Temple Mount Play About to Begin. And as I've written there, and I wrote in my prologue in that book, this edition is an update and revision of my 2017 book, When the Third Temple is Built, retitled because the events of the subject have progressed in a very few years to warrant the issue, while at the same time verifying that which I had already written in the first edition. The Abraham Accord is the new face of an ongoing effort that will culminate in that which we previously declared, what the evangelical church has been eagerly waiting for. And if you remember, if you know that book, I posited that on the Temple Mount, they would build what they are now building over there in the United Arab Emirates. On the Temple Mount will be built three structures for the three great Abrahamic faiths: Christianity, which will be represented by, of course, the Catholic Church, and they will have a cathedral there, and of course the new Jewish temple, and then they will refurbish the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they'll all live in unity on the Temple Mount. And they're already doing that, prerequisite or as a harbinger, over there in the United Arab Emirates. And from the articles that I outline in the first chapter of the updated edition, it looks like that they're going to be doing that throughout the Mideast. So, and it should be, like I said, a harbinger of what's to come, and that which we've already proposed will happen on the Temple Mount. So, wanted to talk about that a little bit. Okay, and what else do we have? Okay, now we've got probably just enough time to talk about our social security issue, our mark of the beast. Now, I believe that that the social security number is a precursor. It is a mark of a beast, defined by the Bible. Okay, a mark is an identifier. A beast is a ruling authority in the earth. So all governments are typified or called beasts, beast powers. There are prominent beast powers that are outlined in the scripture. So the mark of the beast will be, is what we identify from the chapter 13 of the Revelation, which I also write about in my book, which if you listen to the second hour, I'm going to be narrating, in the last half, or in most of that hour, will be on the mark of the beast. First, we're going to talk about the name and the number, and then we'll spend just as much time on the final form of the mark of the beast. So you probably want to stick around for that. But we have this case going through the courts because I tried to apply for a passport because several years ago I got one for my daughter, okay? And because we were thinking about doing a mission trip with a ministry that's doing mission trips. And it's a rescue, you know, they rescue children that are put into slavery in different countries, but they open up mission trips occasionally for people who want some experience or for whatever reason. And we were thinking about doing that, but I couldn't get a passport, okay? So anyway, some of the arguments and we've been talking about before on this, and I had some great arguments in one of our our pleadings and responses to what's going on in the case as it is in the court right now. And I wanted to share those with you because they get to the crux of what it is. And I'm finally, so anyway, here, this is number 17. Our not identifying with an SSN is not willful, intentional, negligent, or reckless because they're not allowing us to have a passport because we won't identify with an SSN. Instead, we give them an affidavit stating our religious position and why we won't identify with an SSN. Okay? So our pleading says our not identifying with an SSN is not willful, intentional, negligent, or reckless. It is not a wrong activity such as those. It is a right thing, fulfilling a duty of the highest law. Must we each give an affidavit of the anguishing prayer and fasting that we undertook in our efforts to plead to the Creator that He remove that cup from us? It is a duty to which we owe the Creator, even though it can be contrary to our will, intentions, due diligence, or careful conduct, and makes us subject to the scorn and abuse of those who willfully or unwittingly worship the beast. 18. You may not apply for such a passport without first making a declaration that is a litmus test of religion. Like the Islamic religion tradition of it being a capital crime to change religion, the Secretary of State and his subordinates have taken the position that you may never change your religion, your religious association, and religious dependency on the mark of the beast and its social security dependency membership. You are allowed to be an unnumbered man in the United States of America, though slightly inconvenienced compared to your fellow national, so long as you've always been an unnumbered man. And that goes to my daughter getting a passport without a social security number because she's always been unnumbered. She's never used the number because she's never used the number. So she's always been an unnumbered person, woman. Okay, but my name has been affiliated in the past. And they already know that. They already know who I am. Otherwise, how could they refuse me a passport on that basis, but authorize one for her. Dry throat this morning. So let me read that again. You are allowed to be an unnumbered person, input man, in the United States of America, though slightly inconvenient compared to your fellow men, so long as you always have been an unnumbered man. Just as you can be a Christian in certain Islamic nations, though slightly inconvenient compared to your fellow national, so long as you've always been a Christian. Yeah, but if you change your religion, then you're a persona non grata, and that's what I am. That's exactly what they told me. Not persona non grata, we know that you identified in the past, that you were identified in the past with a number. Okay? But now you've repented, but we don't accept your repentance or your change of religion like an Islamic country. But in the United States of America, according to the position taken by the defendants, should you be associated as a numbered man, notwithstanding it being fraudulent, and then because of newfound Christian religion, become an apostate to the state religious belief and conduct, you cannot get a passport unless you prove you've never been in association with the state socialist religion. Yes. 19. The court statement grossly misses the facts and merits where it stated plaintiffs do not cite any facts suggesting that the government instead denied and revoked their passports because of their religious belief. It is our activity of religion protected by the First Amendment. Is our activity of religion protected by the First Amendment? Question. The court says it is not. Somehow there is one activity of religion that is not protected. That one activity is being obedient to the scriptural mandate of not confessing the number of the beast as an element of one's identity. My speech is, I have never applied for the voluntary SSN. Is my speech protected by the First Amendment? If I put my speech in writing, is it protected by the First Amendment? If I refuse to speak, is my refusal to speak protected by the First Amendment? If I refuse to put my speech in writing, is that protected by the First Amendment? If I refuse to associate with the society that volunteers to participate in Social Security, is my association protected by the First Amendment? Is my belief that I do not have an SSN protected by the First Amendment? And I've told all of you, many, many times, that no one really has a Social Security number under the definition of have in the law. I do not have a Social Security number. Now, the Social Security Administration, they have all the numbers. They belong to them. The Social Security number is not mine. It is theirs. If it was mine, and if I have it, like I have this phone, I could throw it on the ground and stomp on it, or I could sell it to you, or I could rearrange the numbers on the pad to suit me. If it was my number, I could do all of those things. I could sell it. I could abolish it. I could rearrange it. See? But I don't have it. They have it. It belongs to them. And if I did any of those things, if I tried to sell my Social Security number, or if I changed it and put a different one on the paper, they would prosecute me under the law. Why? Because I don't have it. It belongs to them. It's not mine. And it's not yours either. Stop believing it. So if I refuse to put my speech in writing, is that protected by the First Amendment? If I refuse to associate with the society that volunteers to participate in Social Security, is my association protected by the First Amendment? The fact is this. No one is required to apply for, to use, to associate, or to have a Social Security number by law. It is all voluntary. And let me tell you something. You need to know this. Anytime you sign anything, you are volunteering. And if you have to sign something, okay, to get something, then it's a privilege. It's not a right. It's private law. Privilege. privé legé in the Latin, private law. It's a private agreement. You enter into an agreement. And if you enter into an agreement that violates God's law, and then you repent, what does your repentance require? An extreme illustration. A woman goes into an agreement with a pimp to sell her body and give him part of the proceeds of those sales. What if she repents of that activity? Is now she bound? Okay? Now that's an extreme illustration, but it is applicable. What the Social Security Administration, what the government is saying is that, you can't repent. You're ours forever. We own you now. You know, that's like the doctrine of dispensationalism. They say, once you have the mark of the beast, you cannot, you're going to hell forever and ever and ever. And there's no forgiveness for that sin. No, Jesus said that, gosh, the Bible only tells us about one unforgivable sin. They're saying that that's another one. Yeah, why would they say that? Because they want you to believe it, that you cannot repent. Once you realize you have the number, you should repent. There is forgiveness. Why would God not forgive that sin? He even said all liars have their part in the lake of fire. I've lied. So have you. Every single one of us. But why don't we get to go to the lake of fire? Because we've repented and God has forgiven us. Yes. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is my belief that the SSN number is the number of the beast protected by the First Amendment? Is my belief that it is a damnable sin for me to identify with the number of the beast, Social Security number protected by the First Amendment? Is my membership in the society that does not identify with an SSN protected by the First Amendment? Am I denied a passport because my belief, speech, activity, membership, and association is not an avowed socialist with my membership conveyed on an SS5 membership form? Is that non-membership protected by the First Amendment? Is freedom of association, is that also freedom to not associate? It either is or there is no freedom. Okay? My freedom to speak is a freedom to write. It's all supposed to be protected. Now, they deny me a passport. Sometimes I think, well, maybe if I'm not going to travel, I would like the freedom to travel. But they say for me to leave the country, for me to have that liberty to travel by law and not become an outlaw traveler, that I have to have this passport. Okay? But they're going to deny it because I do not agree with the contract, the Social Security contract. I believe it is socialism, and I believe it is a violation of God's law. And when I learned that, because I was ignorant of it before, okay? I was entered into it by people who entered me into it when I had not achieved the age the knowledge to be able to participate in the contract freely. I was a minor, in other words. Okay? And so were all of you. But when you learn, then you're held accountable. And also at law, you have the right to withdraw from something that if you learn that it was unconscionable, you didn't know it was, you didn't read it, you didn't know what you were signing or not signing, someone signed it for you. So that's our social. And anyone who wants a copy of this, go ahead and email me, and I'll send this to you. Okay, not a whole lot. I think the government position would be to permit aliens, illegals, a passport, though that gives them an advantage over us citizens. Well, yeah, illegals can come into this country and open up bank accounts without a social security number. But if you're born here, you have less rights than an illegal. As a matter of fact, where I live in, on the land here in California, and we have this government, Jesuit governor over here, government, until they gave the illegals the right to travel on our highways without a driver's license, I did not. They would stop me, tow my vehicle, and leave me standing on the side of the road. But since they gave aliens, illegal aliens, the right to travel, and they passed a law saying they couldn't tow their cars, they had to give me the same right. So now they don't tow my car anymore if they stop me, because they won't give me a driver's license because I refuse to participate and identify with a social security number. Yeah, see? You got to be a true believer in this stuff or you're not a believer at all. So, and see, I know what where this is going, because they're going to roll you right into the mark of the beast and worshiping the beast with total digital monetary system, total inquisition. That's what it's all about. That's why the fathers of this nation had written into the Constitution that there shall be no direct tax. Because they did not believe that a federal government should have the right of inquisition into any individual unless they committed a crime for which an inquisition would be required, okay? And they would have the same right to defend themselves in a court of law against any inquisition that was being inquired into their life. Of course, your privacy would have to be protected. But if you committed the crime, they could only inquire for the crime. That's why you needed a warrant stating what was they were looking for. Because, you know, if they were looking for a stolen, you know, automobile, well, they couldn't look in your dresser drawer, okay? Because that would be beyond the scope of the warrant. If they were looking for drugs, they couldn't look at your papers, because your papers are not drugs. That would be without the scope of the warrant. So you were even protected from inquisition by a warrant that could tell them only what they were looking for and not to be able to look anywhere else. So that's inquisitions were limited by warrants. But now we're moving into total inquisition when they remove paper money altogether. You have no privacy whatsoever. They know everything you own, everything you've done, everywhere you've gone, everything you purchased, and everyone you sent a penny to. They total control, and they can shut off your finances and shut you down just like that. What do you think of that? Technocracy and total control. But is there hope? Well, I believe there is. And we're going to talk more about that next week. So make sure you come back for that. But like I said, until then, stick around for the next installments of Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 8, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13:11 through 14. Chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the final phase in the life, machinations, and affiliations of the greatest and most enduring of the final world-dominating powers, or beasts, created by mortal man, with its revived head and supporting companions, the earth beast and its image, before it goes to perdition. Attributes of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Let us examine the mentioned attributes of this seventh beast power from the divine text itself, and see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all of the criteria following. Here we refer to our previous discussion, which identifies this new beast power with the seventh king beast of Revelation 17:9-11, and the attributes enumerated there. 1. He is not yet come. Here is a direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation, and future from the one is then in existence, the sixth king beast already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the scripture, so of necessity must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. 2. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Still directing us to the future tense, the author asserts the continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately preceding and contemporary with it, of which the latter seems to be the case. We now turn back to our primary text above, Revelation 13:11 through 14. 3. This beast comes up out of the earth. First, we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea, as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or a densely populated area, such as the old world, and conquest by warfare or the sword. this earth beast, would rise up without conquest of the beast preceding it, nor would it occupy the highly populated locality of the preceding sea beast powers. There's only one symbolic use of the word earth that I could find in the Revelation, and that concerning the church's flight into the wilderness. This would seem to confirm the understanding that it refers to the opposite definition than that of the sea symbol. That this beast did not rise up in the old world locality where the sea beast did, but rather would appear from a locality which was sparsely populated upon its rise. 4. He had two horns like a lamb. For reference, averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire, with its singular horn being broke off and supplanted by four horns, signifying a new fourfold division, and the 10 horns of the concurrent sea beast, 3 being plucked up before the little horn, etc., we expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this earth beast, as demonstrated by the short history of the Medo-Persian power. Its being described as like a lamb is a probable indicator of the attribute of one of these horns, or division of power, and the other indicated by our next attribute. 5. He spake as a dragon. This dragon influence, or division, would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast's power with the two horns. As we notice no change or one horn being plucked up by another, as in the Grecian and Roman Empire beasts previous to it, this beast may exhibit an equilibrium or even a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and dragon-like conversation, something similar to the old cartoon caricature with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, especially in its support of the sea beast, which derives its power from the dragon, or Satan, the god of this world. 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire ruled the then known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks, numbered 7 through 14, set forth in the vision for this earth beast power. Number 7. Causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is an overview of the end result and motivation of this horn division in the following actions, or, in the biblical sense, its dragon conversation. He uses the following feats to accomplish world obedience to the first beast. 8. Doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. In the context, as in the Roman, this power is military, an overwhelming military power, and contemporarily this means firepower. 9. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Here we continue the theme of an overwhelming military power that would seem miraculous by any historical standard, and the exhibition of such power in the locality of the sea beast. 10. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So much so, this power, that the entire earth will easily capitulate to the assembly of the image of the beast, and eventual worldwide obedience to it. 11. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The end result of the wonder, power, and miraculous machinations of this earth beast lead to the next step of worship or obedience to the image of the beast that was and is not and yet is, which will vicariously rule the world through the construct of this image. 12. And causes that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, indicating that the second beast's dragon speech or horn division of power must be the primary motivator behind the enforcement action of the image it creates. 13. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Identity of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Now we look to recent history, and it seems so obvious, so wonderfully fulfilled, that only one candidate among the prominent powers of the world stands out immediately as fulfilling every criteria of this two-horned earth beast, in every detail prefigured in the apocalyptic vision. Here we expound upon them one point at a time. 1. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. The new world where this power appeared was an unknown. Upon the punishment and wounding, as it were to death, of that head of the sea beast, a dominion that lasted for 1260 years under that head, the papal power and its Holy Roman Empire seemed to disappear. Was and is not, yet is. By 1870, it seemed only a powerless shadow of it remained. 2. America rises in the New World, about the same time of the wounding of the papal head, and has now existed a little more than 200 years in its current constitutional established form. How much time can this beast power continue before it exceeds the short space qualification? Exactly what is a short space in context to the prophecy? Even if Christ were not to appear for several hundred years more, America's time would still be a short space by comparison to the contemporary sea beast. 3. America comes up out of the earth rather than the sea, representing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, where the four previous beast powers rose up. This beast rises up out of the new world, sparsely populated by comparison. There is no conquest or necessity of assimilation as noticed in the previous consecutive beast powers, so that this power can come alongside of and support the sea beast as predicted at chapter 13. 4. He had two horns like a lamb, and 5, he spake as a dragon. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth we have identified as the falling away of Protestant England from the papal states, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape religious persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London. Mexico, down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadors. These are all primarily Roman Catholic. In the New World, the only power that rose up and came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. These two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites, as indicated. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of the beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution of the United States, on November 15, 1777. The present Constitution for the United States was written during the Constitutional Convention. Those that opposed the concentration of power were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to it in an attempt to preserve those liberties. It was signed on September 17, 1787. F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, unquestionably exposes the dragon influence and intrigue present in the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, and more specifically the concentration of power in the newly created capital of this beast, the sovereign city of the District of Columbia. Though this power was founded on many godly or lamb-like principles, the draconic influence would eventually turn it to come alongside the draconic power of the sea beast that infected it at its inception. The history of this alliance between these two beasts is foretold in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. It would take two world wars centered around the dominant locality of the wounded head to lure this earth beast into its predicted apocalyptic position of help and support for the sea beast. It is not insignificant that about the same time this first beast receives its deadly wound, that the second beast rises in the new world, and in time comes to exercise all the powers of the first beast before it, until it finally causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. It is all too evident that America exhibits the dichotomy which the scripture indicates that it would in the two horns as this earth beast. As the Roman Empire was once the visible police power of the world, so today America, since World War II, has emerged as the police power of the world and exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Despite recently closing hundreds of bases in Iraq and Afghanistan, the United States still maintains nearly 800 military bases in more than 70 countries and territories abroad, from giant Little Americas to small radar facilities. Britain, France, and Russia, by contrast, have about 30 foreign bases combined. The Earth Beast creates the image of the Sea Beast. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:12-14. Principle in our search for a divine interpretation on the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2, in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see an image of all of the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is, Babylon its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. In the second end time image, we see the amalgamation of all of the powers of the earth for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand worship of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world, and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. We have learned from Bible history, and at the temptation of Christ, that it is Satan who comes to dominate all of the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So when the dragon power, firmly entrenched in the U.S. government at Washington, D.C., the New World, World War I is initiated, and America lured to engage the conflict in the first beast locality, that is, the Old World, after which the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations was founded on 10 January 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. America is not yet ready, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League had failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted for 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same 20th century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire earth. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and create and maintain international order, a replacement for the ineffective League of Nations. The organization was established on 24 October 1945, after World War II, with the aim of preventing another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City. The United Nations is the New World Order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June of 1945 in San Francisco. It was signed on the 26th of June, 1945, at the conclusion of the conference. This charter took effect on 24 October 1945, and the UN began operation. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 1960s, and by the 1970s, its budget for economic and social development programs far outstripped its spending on peacekeeping. After the end of the Cold War, the UN took on major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. America, with its 800 military outposts worldwide, is the primary police power of the UN. Following is a resolution adopted by the General Assembly on the 25th of September 2015 for Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. UN Sustainable Development Goals. Goal 1. End poverty in all its forms everywhere. Goal 2. End hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. Goal 3. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Goal 4. Ensure inclusive an equitable quality education, and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Goal 5. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Goal 6. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Goal 7. Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Goal 8. Promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Goal 9. Build resilient infrastructure. Promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization and foster innovation. Goal 10. Reduce inequality within and among countries. Goal 11. Make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Goal 12. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Goal 13. Take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Goal 14. Conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine sources for sustainable development. Goal 15. Protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Goal 16. Promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development. Provide access to justice for all and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. Goal 17. Strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. As you can see, this list goes far beyond saving the environment or fighting climate change. It truly covers just about every realm of human activity. Another thing that makes this new sustainable development agenda different is the unprecedented support that it is getting from the Vatican and from Pope Francis himself. Under this pope, the Vatican has become much more political than it was before, and sustainable development has become the Vatican's number one political issue. And did you notice the language about the world's religions acting in unison? Clearly, the Vatican believes that it has the power to mobilize religious leaders all over the planet and have them work together to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. I can never remember a time when the United Nations and the largest religious institution on the planet, the Catholic Church, have worked together so closely. So what will the end result of all this be? Should we be concerned about this new sustainable development agenda? The above-mentioned decolonization, continued breaking up, answers to the Daniel 7:19 attribute of the sea beast, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Very fitting with the iron mingled with the clay in the Daniel chapter 2 mystery Babylon image of the feet and 10 toes description. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay, preceding the return of Christ to set up his kingdom. More recently, with the 2020 so-called COVID pandemic, we have this article. Pandemic, panic to usher in the UN's 2030 agenda 10 years early. Sustainable development, aka technocracy, is the end game of the global elite who want control over all resources on Earth, including people. The Great Panic of 2020 has been weaponized to create the biggest economic coup in the history of the world. I would again note that control over political structures is incidental to control over all economic functions. When technocracy prevails, elected politicians of all stripes will be summarily dismissed, and engineers and scientists will run the world directly. For citizens, this is the essence of scientific dictatorship. There is no need for representative government because systems will be run autonomously via algorithm. The threat of killing capitalism and free enterprise is very real and most definitely existential to America as we have known it for over 200 years. Technocracy News Editor. Beyond chapter 13 of the Revelation, the scripture makes no further telling exposition of the image of the beast. But can one even imagine what more needs to be said? If we have not here spoken the truth, then what else could it possibly be? Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. Chapter 9. The False Prophet and the Three Frogs Era. The False Prophet. In order to identify that which is false, you must first know that which is true. It has been revealed that when the Treasury Department trains its agents to spot counterfeit money, that they never show them any counterfeit script. They train them to become intimately familiar with every detail of the true Treasury notes. This way, when they see a counterfeit note, they immediately recognize it as not true. Likewise, we should start by becoming intimately familiar with the true prophet in order to discover that which is not true. Who was that true prophet that the Hebrew nation was waiting for? The Messiah. Jesus was that true prophet. In the same way that the Antichrist, the man of sin, sits in the temple of God, showing that he is God, falsely or vicariously taking the place of God in the hearts and minds of men in the visible church on earth, so the false prophet does the same. He takes the place of the true prophet. The exact phrase, false prophet, is only used four times in the New Testament. Once, it is attached negatively to a named individual with the definite article, a false prophet. The other three occur in the Revelation with the definite article, the false prophet. To these, we concentrate our investigation. We've discussed previously where the Protestant historicist interpretation of the Revelation left off at the end of the 1260 years era with the pouring out of the sixth vial. Then, following immediately after the opening of the sixth vial, the three frogs are introduced in the Revelation, for they are the spirits of devils. In the past, some historicists have erroneously speculated that the two-horned earth beast of chapter 13 was the false prophet of chapter 16, positing that the like a lamb attribute was a clue of character typical of a wolf in sheep's clothing, therefore the false prophet. The futurists would have you believe that there will be a singular false prophet to identify at some juncture. But a careful study reveals a wider view. In my view, if there is a named singular false prophet, he would be none other than the man of sin. And, as we already know, the man of sin, like the man of God, does not refer to a singular individual. Rather, it refers to a class of individuals, which we have already discovered that the man of sin refers to a specific class, the papacy. I am absolutely convinced that the false prophet is simply another reference to that same class of men. The false prophet, the seat of the papacy, and that of the man of sin are all one and the same. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:13-14. The dragon, being representative of that old serpent and the devil, in this spirit we look for the continued and pervasive influence of religious pagan idolatry and hedonism rising in the world at large, and even gaining influence in the visible church. We also anticipate the final rise of persecution and wave of martyrdom, again emanating also from the visible church, directed at the true Bible-believing elect of God, as in the Inquisitions of the past. The beast, which also gets its power from the dragon, we recognize as the Roman Empire, which morphs through history from the solid legs of iron in the Daniel chapter 2 image to the feet and 10 toes mingled with clay when it is struck by the stone cut out without hands and desolated so that no place is found for it anymore. We recognize this desolation as the same events described in the revelation leading up to the consummation. The spirit coming from the mouth of this beast will result in statist idolatry, as those who bowed before the mystery Babylon image of Nebuchadnezzar, and a combination of church-state-ism as practiced in the temporal reign of the biblical and historical Antichrist, and the idolatry of those who put the state in the place of God. The false prophet in the Revelation is translated singular. Any use of the false prophet as singular would be contrasted with the true prophet. Jesus was that true prophet that Moses foretold the coming of. So as the Antichrist is the usurper of Christ's position in the church, as the man of sin, so the false prophet usurps the place of the true, making all of these appellations refer to one and the same persona, which persona will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with the beast. The spirit of prophecy being described as the testimony of Jesus, the false prophet or spirit of false prophecy may also refer to the abundance of false gospels and the inundation of false prophecy and false Bible interpretation to deceive even the elect, if it were possible, as disseminated by these evil spirits in the final epoch leading up to the return of our Lord. All of these, of course, emanating from the same source. So typical has the false prophet agency become that they are difficult to tell from the true prophet of God in the nominal church. We see these devilish spirits being loosed here for the specific purpose of organizing evil for their own ultimate destruction at the return of Christ. We also notice something similar at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, where Satan is loosed out of his prison to gather the forces of evil to battle against the camp of the saints. In both of these instances, the annihilation of those evil forces is the result. The Three Frog Era. But how long is the Three Frog Era, and when did it begin? Would the evil that comes out of the mouth of the beast, that is human government, be consistent with the spirits that were loosed with the French Revolution? Undeniably. Consequently, this spiritual reality has developed and matured through the 19th and 20th centuries and continues exponentially until this very day. Let me quote. Legacy of the French Revolution. The loss of restraint. I would be remiss not to start with the darkest legacy of the French Revolution, namely the terror. It reverberates to this day through every violent act done by revolutionaries and terrorists, from the Bolsheviks to Bin Laden, in the name of the people. The historian J.L. Talmon argues that the legacy of Jacobinism, the most radical part of the French Revolution, is totalitarian democracy. The messianic ideal born in the French Revolution inspired the totalitarian movements of the 20th century, especially communism. But I would argue its influence is not limited to communism. It is present as well in all illiberal movements that restrict liberty in the name of equality and justice. Such illiberalism exists today in Russia, Venezuela, and Iran, where a facade of democracy masks oppression and a corrupt rule. You see it in the populist nationalisms of the world that end up in dictatorship, such as the French Revolution did with Napoleon. Plebiscitary democracy, where the people are allowed to speak only once and forever hold their peace, is also a legacy of the French Revolution. The fundamental error in this legacy was the loss of restraint. In their fervor to create a new humanity, the Jacobins in particular committed the cardinal sin of losing their humanity. To illustrate this point, it is well worth remembering that even Niccolò Machiavelli, who served in a diplomatic mission at the court of one of the cruelest tyrants in European history, Cesare Borgia, saw the necessity of restraint. In writing The Prince, which was modeled on Borgia, Machiavelli believed that sometimes evil had to be done to create the good, but he always understood that it was, after all, still intrinsically evil. It was an exception to the rule, if you will. That changed with the French Revolution. Now evil acts committed in the name of the good became, in and of themselves, good. There are few ideas unleashed on the world that have caused more misery, while totalitarianism on the left and on the right has had different philosophical roots and different aspirations, they were united in this one goal. Nothing could be allowed to stand in their way of totally transforming mankind and societies. This was equally true for Stalin as well as Hitler, for Pol Pot as well as Osama bin Laden. The direct ideological heirs of the French Revolution, socialism and communism, of course, have had a varied history. Gracchus Bobeau, The Conspiracy of Equals, 1796, was one of the last of the revolutionaries and the first to envision an absolute leveling of society. Marx and others turned socialism into communism as a critique of the capitalist system. Lenin and others transformed socialism into communism as a totalitarian movement. But today in the West, the socialist idea has been tamed. Socialist ideals have made their peace with elections and the capitalist system, becoming social democracies in Europe and the welfare state in the United States. These ideals are the very seed of the model exposed in the Revelation chapter 13 about the monetary mark of the beast. Those who do not go along with the totalitarian tyranny of equals will be beheaded. They will be killed, and those who kill them will think that they do God a service. Of course, their God is the God of the Zeitgeist and the head of the beast, the Antichrist, who once again, through his shadow government or Jesuit army and its many conscripts, has permeated and dominated the outer court, the majority of the visible church on earth, as well as the secular mind at large. And just who are these persecuted ones who will be martyred? Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The time in which we live now is a church era increasingly dominated by the false prophet spirit. So we see the beginning of this era, and we understand the end, which is clearly expressed in the scripture text, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. that there is paganism and idolatry, statism and false prophecy running rampant the visible and nominal church is an undeniable reality to the discerning Bible believer. This era has seen an ever-increasing prominence of these evils, and will until the great day arrives. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.